This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Well, this is Tex and Kylie on Joy 94.9 on Well, 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 and that was the Ting Tings with We Walk. And joining us right now on the phone live from Bendigo is Adam Wright from CAN, which means the Country Awareness Network. Welcome to Well, 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 Adam.
Good evening, Kylie. How are you going?
Good.
Good day, Adam.
Hello.
It's young Tex.
Oh, Tex, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Dale.
Have a quick catch-up. No, let's get straight into it. Now, for those who may not have heard about CAN, I'm sure they have, who or what is CAN?
Well, CAN has been around for, what, now over 10 years. It began as the Country AIDS Network and started as a sort of branch offering support to people in Central Victoria living with HIV/AIDS. And over the years, it's kind of progressed, and our focuses have changed to include bloodborne viruses and general sexual health. And while most of our work's centered around Central Victoria, we do offer support across the state and rural regional areas where we can.
Okay. Now, you've just recently released a booklet called Positively Rural. What is the intended aim of the booklet?
Well, CAN quite often, and in fact, we get a lot of referrals through VAC as well when people are making inquiries about what services are available in rural regional areas. And we've noticed an ongoing trend, I suppose, probably over the last 12 to 18 months, where we're having more and more inquiries about what services are available to people living with HIV/AIDS. And I think it's a trend we'll probably see continuing. Nowadays with improved treatments, we have an aging positive population, and people, as they get older, start thinking about lifestyle changes, you know, finding a greener, slower pace of life, or looking, and it's not just older populations for that matter. I mean, tree change, sea change seems to be a bit of a trend across the board. And with the more, inquiries, that we've had, we've kind of put some of those issues into a little booklet or resource for people to consider.
Adam, the Country Awareness Network is based in Bendigo. So are all of these inquiries coming in from around the Bendigo area, or is it from people living with HIV/AIDS moving to all different sorts of places in rural and regional Victoria?
All sorts of places, Tex. Just to give you an example, I had an inquiry 6 months or so ago. A gentleman who is basically looking to move back to his hometown, another area of the state, but because he has aging parents, and he's finding that he needs to go back and kind of take care of them, which is kind of a good thing. Guy is a long-term positive person. Maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it was a lot different. I think the plans at that point were, someone would be taking care of him. Now with treatments, he's living quite a healthy, productive, happy life, and finding that, well, he's got to change, directions here, and he needs to move back to look after his parents. And many of the inquiries, they vary from, where do I access special medical services, where do I get my meds? Many times it's about lifestyle social support networks. I'm going to move to this area or that area. What am I going to do for social life? Where do I connect with, gay and lesbian, groups or like-minded people?
Now, Adam, you're saying, talking about access to medications and also medical services, are people able to access a whole range of the HIV medications out in regional Victoria?
Well, that's probably one of the toughest, things when it comes to services. It's very limited. Most of the S100 prescribers are located in metropolitan region. Last time I checked, I think there's about maybe 7, and that kind of varies whether or not they've kept up their accreditation, but maybe 7 to 9 S100 prescribers that are outside of the metropolitan region. And there's certain areas, Bendigo is pretty lucky. There's a couple S100 prescribers in central Victoria, plus they have a infectious disease clinic. So it's pretty well resourced, but there's some areas where, you know, it's pretty thin on the ground. That doesn't mean that it's not achievable though. You know, nowadays with treatments and, you know, management, you know, a positive person that, is managing, treatments well simply has to access, you know, blood tests and meds every 3 months. And depending upon where you live, if you have good access to transport or you have a good vehicle that's reliable, it's easy enough to travel to Melbourne if need be or to one of the major regional centers that have the services.
And are you finding because people are perhaps moving back into regional areas that there are support groups that are initiated by clients? Are they being established?
They do. The peer support groups, HIV support groups, quite often we have found, and we support them, you know, and have over the years across the state, and auspice them and support them where we can. They're quite often very fluid and dynamic. Generally, you'll find, you know, and that's one of the other things CAN does. If we identify three or four members or positive people living in a certain area and they have they express a need for some social peer support, we'll, you know, help them facilitate in starting a group. What we find, though, is that these groups run sometimes, you know, a year, sometimes 5 years, but then two or three of the key people move on or relocate, and then the groups, you know, go into recess. So that's something we always suggest to people is finding out, you know, what is happening in the area and if there is something. It's also good to if you already have contacts. I mean, if you're moving to an area, as I gave the example before, and you already have family in that area, you've got your network started, you know.
Absolutely. And I can imagine it may be useful having an organisation like CAN because of the issues with disclosure and people not having to put it out there to people they don't necessarily know that they are they do have HIV. They can actually go through an organisation that facilitates that communication.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, don't get me wrong. The booklet, and it's interesting, some of the comments we've had about the booklet, a few people have said, geez, you know, you've somewhat negative in some ways, the book. You know, it talks about all the bad stuff, and it's like, well, it's not so much the bad stuff. It's just things that we point out that people we think should consider, or at least if you're moving, especially if you're moving from a metropolitan region, you know, it's a bit foolish to move to a rural regional area and think that you're going to have all the same access to services and support that you would in metropolitan regions. And when it comes to, privacy and disclosure, small towns sometimes, you know, it's, you know, like being in a fishbowl. You know, smaller communities do tend to know everyone's business and they do talk in chat. So we often, you know, encourage clients, consumers to think carefully about, you know, who they want to know what.
Yeah, look, Adam, I was actually going to ask you exactly about that. Quite often I speak to people, especially here in Melbourne, who will say, look, I can't move to a regional location because of that fact that everybody knows each other. If I go to the doctor, the receptionist may be a neighbour or a relative of someone who lives in the town. How do people get around that sort of thing? Is it that they need to travel to a far distant place like Melbourne or to Bendigo or maybe another regional city that has you know, a wide variety of doctors? How do people cope with those sorts of issues?
Yeah, well, that's one strategy many of our clients, consumer members, utilize. I know, you know, some of our members that, you know, live in a, you know, particular area but might travel, you know, say an hour or so to access, you know, medical services or a GP for that reason. I would remind everyone, though, and it's not quite as bad as some would think. You know, GPs and the medical professionals, you know, generally are professional in their services that they provide, and they do recognize the importance of confidentiality. But and quite often, sometimes these are barriers that, you know, are perceived by the the client or the consumer. And it's what's most comfortable, you know. It's an individual decision, and there's heaps of different choices. And generally, when people, you know, do ring up Canada, they're looking for things, we usually discuss, you know, what the options and the strategies. And it's up to, you know, it's up to the individual to decide what they're most comfortable with and what works best for them.
Absolutely. Now, on the weekend, you have in Bendigo, the film festival is happening. Will you have a presence there if people wanted to come and have a chat with you guys?
Yes, yes. We'll be around all weekend. There's the Bendigo Queer Film Festival this weekend, and it kicks off on Friday night with an opening art show and the opening films. Saturday, there's sessions running all day long, and Saturday night is the infamous annual Fab After Party, which they have at one of the pubs. And Sunday, throughout the day, and Ken will have some information, plus the new resources available at all of the sessions. And there'll be canned staff around, so anyone that wants to stop by and say hi or make any queries.
Great. Well, we'll have all the details about your website and contact numbers here for Joy listeners, but it's a great resource. I hope you get lots of good feedback about it.
Adam, before you go, can you give us the website for Can? And does the website have the details of the Bendigo Queer Film Festival on it?
It does. It does.
Right. What's the website then?
www.can.org.au.
Well, that's nice and easy.
Yeah, and the resource is there in the electronic PDF format as well.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, and enjoy the festival on the weekend.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Adam. Bye.
See ya.
Well, that was Adam Wright there from CAN, the Country Awareness Network. And we have details about CAN right here at Joy.
Indeed. And that website was can.org.au.
Well, you are with Tex and Kylie on, well, on Joy 94.9. Oh, Basement Jack's there with Romeo, and you are with Tex and Kylie on well, on Joy 94.9. Now, Tex, I believe we've had some messages in.
Well, yes, we had a hello from Liz, which is nice to know, and we had a hello from Brad, and Brad's a volunteer in the PLC Peer Support, that's the Positive Living Centre Peer Support, and it was a message about the 25th birthday picnic for the Victorian AIDS Council, saying, have a good day on Sunday. He can't make it due to family commitments, but thank you, Brad. It's good to know you're listening, and it's good to know you're a volunteer with the Positive Living Centre's Peer Support Program.
Which is great.
That's good.
Be good to see all the past and present.
Oh, it is. I'm actually very looking forward to, because I've been having a 20-year involvement, some of those photos, I've seen some of those people, and some of them have aged particularly well, and some of them haven't.
Not so well. It might be a good opportunity, actually, to get people down there if you're thinking about volunteering.
I'm sure there'll be loads of people there who have been volunteers or who are volunteers, still volunteers. There are many volunteers who have been with the organisation for all of the 25 years of its history. So there'll be lots of people there, and they'd be only too happy to share their experiences of the good, the bad, the ugly, usually the fantastic times that they've had in being involved in such an organisation. And volunteers, of course, are important everywhere, including, of course, here at Joy.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to talk about young people. We're going to stop talking about us.
Yep.
Talk about young people, because it is Youth Week, all week up until Sunday.
Indeed.
Happens and every year.
There have been lots of youth activities or youth-orientated activities associated here with Joy, not just during National Youth Week, but especially concentrated on National Youth Week, including lots of young people who've come in and been on a variety of programs during the week, and there are some more coming up over the weekend as well.
Yeah, we did a program, I think it was last year, or maybe it wasn't even during Youth Week, but we got a couple of young guys and girls in to talk about their experiences of being gay at school, but learning about or doing sex ed. And yeah, it was really interesting to hear the differences in their stories about what they learnt and then what they went and found out themselves.
What reality was like.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is always different from what you learn about.
Yeah. And I think having now with you know, the internet and different ways of communicating, there's a way of finding out a lot of information. There's forums and chat sites and information websites. So there's so many different places that you can actually get information, but then also share your experiences with people who are similar to you, whether it's in the same country or on the other side of the world.
Indeed, through all those sorts of things, Twitter and Facebook and all the different sorts of chat sites. And in a lot of instances, you just need to go to a search engine like Google and write in young, gay and lesbian. Maybe write in Australia if you want it to be somewhere local, or click on the Australia button. But yeah, you can find out about all different sorts of organisations, and there are all different sorts of organisations, and we've spoken to lots of them here on Joy during Well, Well, Well.
Yeah.
Organisations like Minus 18, part of the Also Foundation, who organise the underage dance party events for young gay and lesbian people, young gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex, queer and questioning young people.
That's right. And there's a whole heap of support services as well, and social groups that are spread throughout Victoria. So it's not just Melbourne-based, which is fantastic, because often when things do get established, and if they're set up by a particular organisation, it's usually quite Melbourne-centric. But it's great that these different groups are being set up by young people, but also people within that community that know that there is a need to create spaces where young people can come and meet safely.
And indeed, and in lots of instances, that's associated with local councils. And if you want to find out about all sorts of youth groups, you can go to the Also Directory, which is available in a print edition, but also online via the Also website, also.org.au, and just click on the directory.
And we're going to be talking about a few of those services after these important messages from our sponsors. You're with Tex and Kylie on Joy 94.9. And that was Pulp. Do you remember the first time? Do you remember the first time, Tex?
Oh, I do indeed. And I actually filled out an online survey for Allegro Non Troppo, the program on Sundays. They're doing a show on, actually doing a show on people's first time of having sex and asking people what they remember.
Oh, I better learn.
So you can go to the Joy website and click through to the Allegro part of the website. I don't know the right word. I'm not young enough. and you can then click through and do the survey about your first time. So quite apt, Kylie.
That's a favourite song of mine to belt out in the car.
Oh.
When I had a car.
Right.
Don't do it on the train.
You don't.
With the iPod.
Oh, you don't? Oh, well, look, that surprises me immensely, Kylie. I thought you'd be a song, sing along to the iPod and entertain the carriage.
I have a bit of a wiggle,
good.
And a foot tap, and you know, now that I'm taking up knitting,
yes.
I knit to a beat. It's good. It's good to have good knitting music. People like good running music, good knitting music.
And may I just congratulate you? I saw the knitting on Monday, was it, the first day we saw it? And
yes.
It's like 5 or 6 times the size.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's a scarf you're making.
Yes, should that's
explain.
All I will ever be making, I think.
All right, you're not going to make my Duna cover. Oh, well.
I could stitch a few scarves together, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, let's talk about more important things. Youth Week.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow there's a Youth Week broadcast, and it's from Princes Hill Secondary College.
And that should be really exciting. So if you're a student at Princes Hill Secondary College, of course, you'll know all about this. But it doesn't matter where you're a student, even just a student of life, between 12 and 2 p.m. Australian Eastern Summertime, you can listen in, like you can at all times, like you are right now, to Joy 94.9, or streaming over the internet, joy.org.au, so you don't even have to be in Melbourne. You can be anywhere. And I should say a quick hello to Clayton in Hong Kong, who generally listens in on a Thursday night. Mm. G'day, Clayton.
So that broadcast is 12 noon to 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
tomorrow. Before that last track, we were talking about some support services for young people, and particularly in regional areas, but also in the metro area. And Tex, you mentioned that a lot of the councils, the local government councils, set up groups or provide a space for the social and support groups. And many of you would have heard about the Rainbow Network.
Indeed, yes.
Which kind of is the overarching organising body, well, that I guess, facilitates communication between these different groups, but also between teachers, youth workers, young people. So everyone that's involved or wants to be involved in working with same-sex attracted youth. And their website is La Trobe, as in the university, LATROBE.edu.au/rainbow. And there's a whole list of groups and also their contacts and what sort of service they provide. And it includes services like Family Planning Victoria, who provide a youth health service in the city on Elizabeth Street, and it's called the Action Centre. And they provide clinical and counselling services for young people up to the age of 25 years of age. And you can go and get a sexual health test for a young man or woman. For girls, they do pap smears as well, and they probably provide the cervical cancer vaccine as well.
Indeed,
as
well
as still being offered,
as well as having a lot of information, and they provide condoms and lube. And through the Action Centre, you can also get the female condom as well. So a wide variety of services. But if you didn't catch that website address, just type Rainbow Network into a search engine and you should be able to locate it that way. But it's a great network, and we have some involvement through the Victorian AIDS Council in working with the Rainbow Network and supporting, providing information and services for them as well.
Absolutely, and there's another, there's a free service provided. It's part of the Adolescence Health Service that runs out of the Royal Children's Hospital, and it's called a Front Yard, and it's the Young People's Health Service, and they offer a range of services as part of Front Yard, but they have a health service, and they do focus on young people who are homeless or disadvantaged, and we know that there are a lot of same-sex attracted young people that are homeless. And also Foundation set up a housing service for them, or
they auspice a housing
service. Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. And so they provide services very similar to Family Planning Victoria, the Action Centre. And they have a broader health focus as well. It's not just sexual health that young people would need to go and see a doctor about. It may be a whole range of things. And, you know, that's, I guess, a way of getting young people into a service that is youth-friendly and understands their needs, and because it can be incredibly daunting going to a GP off the street and you don't know what sort of service you're going to get, and issues around confidentiality and is a big concern for young people, and also whether you have a Medicare card or not.
Yeah, and it's really interesting to find that we found out that you can get your own Medicare card from the age of 15.
You can.
And that's really interesting, but it's MedicareAustralia.gov.au is the website that you need to go to find out more about getting your own Medicare card. Medicare Australia, all one word, MedicareAustralia.gov.au. And, of course, it can be quite daunting for a young person to go to a GP, especially if it's the GP they've always gone to and they know their mum or dad or the rest of the family go to the same GP, and you mentioned about confidentiality. Although we know that doctors should keep everything confidential, sometimes it can be a bit daunting going to a doctor that you know the rest of the family goes to, and you just think, well, is he going to tell mum? Mum's always been with me when I've been to the doctor before, you know.
And I guess one of the things that Adam raised with regional issues is walking into a GP clinic, and, you know, your best mate's mum is the
receptionist
or your auntie is, or, you know, your dad's mate sitting in there waiting for an appointment. So it's a little bit too close to home.
Indeed, which is why a lot of young people, as soon as they get their licence and can get away, will go to an alternative health service that may be some distance away. And for social events as well, to get out of the local area so that you can, A, mix with a new group of people, but also have some idea of confidentiality, as, you know, you're not going to be known
as one of the people from the street, someone who went to the local school.
Mm. And local local governments, they also, or in local council areas, they also have community-based health services.
Mm.
So in a local area, which is great. But you know what, Tex?
I don't believe it, Kylie. You're going to tell me that we're about out of time, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. And Liz is waiting outside. She wants to get in and start playing some tunes.
And this is the same Liz that's a bit of a dirty girl who likes a threesome each week.
Yes, that's right.
Well, you know what? She's having a threesome tonight with Anastasia.
I know. And I think a lot of people would find that exciting.
Mm. I'm not quite sure who Anastasia is, but there you go. Kylie, next week on the show, we're going to be speaking with Michael Riches from the Positive Living Centre. He's the Member Services Coordinator, so he's going to be talking about all the different sorts of events that are available and services available for people living with HIV who access the Positive Living Centre, of course, in Commercial Road, Paran. Harry, I need to say a quick hello to Harry, and I need to say hello to Glenda, who came in and visited us at the office yesterday. It was lovely to see Glenda, although she spent most of her time under a desk. There you go.
Oh, and she's just said hello.
Oh, has she?
Yes.
Oh, from Glenda the cat.
And big thanks to Adam from CAN, Country Awareness Network.
And thanks, Brad, for your message that you sent in.
And Glenda.
Yes.
I'm going to leave, well, we're going to leave you tonight with one of Texas favourites. It's Solid Gold and with, well, the Eagles of Death Metal with Solid Gold.
And I like it especially because of the name.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.